Well, it's wonderful to be back at Holland Road. And for those of you who don't know us, we've been part of this church for some time. And it was last September that Rita, she's just over there, give a wave, and myself, we went to Spain on the Costa del Sol as a launching pad for work in North Africa. And I know some of you are thinking, lucky you, getting called to the sunny climes of Spain. And all I can say is I've said to people before, some people get called there because of the S-U-N. We're there because of the capital S-O-N. And it's Jesus that has called us there. And we've just finished our first year. Been a good year in every way. God's really been with us. God's blessed us. And we're looking forward to going back there on the 1st of September for a second year. And what we're doing there basically is training and equipping people for the North Africa Rim. We just have a passion to see people raised up, both in prayer for North Africa, for people to go short-term teams into that region, and for others to go long-term. And out of the first training school that we've run there, there's a possible three who will be going into North Africa long-term. So that's very exciting for us. And we are just blessed to have you as a church stand with us, because anything that really happens through us there, you've had a part in. Through your prayers, through your love, through your giving, you've played a part. So let me say on behalf of Rita, and I thank you for your investment in the region of North Africa. One of the countries we were in earlier this year was Morocco. And, you know, isn't it good to worship the Lord? It's wonderful, isn't it, to worship the Lord together. And Tim was saying this morning how important it is that we don't just have a sing-song, but we really worship the Lord with all our hearts. And when we were in the south of Morocco, we were doing something that's not normally done. We were just holding open-air meetings, and we were doing drama, and we were worshiping the Lord. And it got us in trouble a little bit at one stage when we had about 500 people gather around us, and the authorities came in, the police came in, and they closed us down. But the thing that was really interesting is this, that the Moroccan people loved the worship. That as we were worshiping the Lord, they'd gather around. They wanted to know what we were singing. We did have song sheets, and many times Moroccans, particularly those who spoke English, would want the song sheets and say, what are you singing? And the one song that they really loved was Majesty, Majesty, Majesty. Now, I don't get 10 out of 10 for singing. I know that, so don't worry. But it was that song that really blessed them. And they wanted to know the words of that. And I just thought, isn't it interesting that it was worship that touched their hearts? And music, as it were, was getting and touching their spirits and ministering to them. So we were there worshiping the Lord. And actually, we were back here in May for World Week. And during World Week, the team went off into the desert. And they spent 8 days in the Sahara Desert. And that was just a remarkable time in the desert there. And just one story before we get on to the word tonight. And I have had permission from David. He said, oh, once you're there, do share a little bit about what you're doing. And so I feel I have permission to do that. But the team were traveling through the desert. They were with some folks who'd led many teams over a number of years, about 8 years. They'd run these trips through the desert. And as they were traveling through, the leader said, you know, in the 8 years we've gone through the desert, we've never been invited into a Bedouin tent. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody came running out as we passed one of these tents and invited us in? And so they prayed that. They just said, Lord, that would be wonderful if that happened. 5 minutes later, they were trundling through the desert in these three Land Rovers, passing this Bedouin tent, and this girl ran out waving them down. Stop, stop, stop. And she got into conversation with them. We had some Tashahites and Arabic speakers with us. And the end result was everybody, about 15, were invited in to this Bedouin tent. It was like, wow! These folks were so excited, you know, just to get into. There's not many people that can say that they've, you know, had tea and that in a Bedouin tent in the Sahara Desert. And when you go a tent or a home, in fact, in Morocco, you don't just go there for, you know, 10 minutes or half an hour even. It's a long, drawn-out affair. And so they were there, I think, 3 or 4 hours, drinking tea and relating together. And one of the team members had a DVD player, and on it was some testimonies of Muslims who come to know Jesus. Powerful testimonies. And so they showed those, and they talked some more, and they had a wonderful time of witnessing. And then when it was time to go, the students that were with us, they were really fired up. They were in faith for God to do almost anything. They said, look, we'd like to pray for you because we know Jesus answers prayer. And they said, what can we pray for? And so the family said, well, we've got some goats, we've got some animals here, and to be honest, we could do with some rain. Occasionally it rains in the Sahara Desert. We could do with some rain. We haven't had rain for 2 years, so if you want to pray that, then pray it. And so the students, they got stuck in, and you know how much we love Jesus, and he's the answer, isn't he, in the end? It's Jesus that's the answer. We love Jesus in this church, and they wanted to be clear, they wanted to make it clear to this family that it was Jesus that would answer prayer if anything happened at all. So they prayed for rain in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you please bring rain to this region, Jesus? We believe you, Jesus. We know you can do this, Jesus. And by the time they'd finished, the family knew that they were praying in the name of Jesus and not Muhammad or anyone else. And then they left. Well, there was one guy who used to sleep out at night rather than in the tent, and so some of the students, and Kathy Solars was one of those students. She's going to be here next Sunday afternoon. Do come and listen to her. I think she'll have some wonderful stories to tell. But, you know, they said, don't sleep out tonight because it's going to rain. And the guy said, yeah, okay, we'll see. But you know what? That morning, as they woke up, there was the patter of rain on their tents. It was raining. And for the students, I spoke to some of them afterwards. You know, sometimes, you know, we just wonder about things in the Christian faith. Does the Lord really answer prayer? They say, we know. I'll take this with me for the rest of my life. I know that Jesus answers prayer. We had an incredible demonstration of that. And we don't know what the family thought about it, because the team had moved on by then. But we're just praying that the Holy Spirit would have spoken to them and got them to inquire more about this Jesus. Even have the testimonies they heard speak to them so that they might come to know the Lord. And during that trip, we saw some other just amazing things. And I hope Kathy shares with you what some of those things were. You know, Jesus loves the whole world, doesn't he? He really does. And he longs for the people of North Africa to come to know him and love him. And Morocco is a country that, you know, is about 99%, and God this.
Okay.
You know, Morocco actually is quite a poor country in many ways, and I think it's a population of about 30 million, and there must be, what, at least 10 million of those who are living on just $1 a day. So, you know, it's quite a poor country. And yet in that, often in poverty, that can be something that brings people to Jesus. And we're longing to see a real move of God's Spirit in that area. Just two things to say. This is a Moroccan calendar. I bought some of these because I thought people at Holland Road might enjoy a 2009 calendar of Morocco. Okay? Christmas is coming, isn't it? Christmas is coming. If you'd like to help the work of Morocco in any way and have this as a reminder, perhaps just to pray for the nation, then I've got some copies, and they're £5 each, and you can have one after the service. And then for others, this is a prayer card we did last year. We've still got some. If you'd like to have some prayer pointers and our contact information, then it's here. Okay. Let's get into the message. What has this got to do with the message tonight? Anybody know? Yes? A Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. Who knows that slogan? You see, most people know that slogan. And what we're talking about tonight is work, working well. You know, it's interesting with that slogan. Anyone know when it first came out? Just a matter of interest now. It was, yes, it was the 50s. It was 1959. So it's nearly 50 years old. And actually, they just relaunched that slogan in February of this year, I understand. So a Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. Next week, I'm going to be talking about resting well. And we ought to have, actually, a message on playing well, didn't we? If we're going to follow it through, work, rest, and play. And for some of us, perhaps that's a message that would be very good for us, because perhaps for some of us, we've lost the art and the joy of playing in life. But I feel that's a very important part of life. But working well, that's the message. And let's just turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Going to read from verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may the God Himself, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. When I was given this subject, Working Well, I thought, actually sharing that at Holland Road, that's like telling Granny how to suck eggs, because you are a hard-working church, aren't you? I just think you are a hard-working church. That's my personal opinion. I just see all the activity that goes on. You think of the children's work at half term back in February, was it? And all the huge amount of work that went into that. Wales Week and the huge amount of work that went into that. Hope 08 and the huge amount of work that went into that. Those things didn't happen on their own magically, did they? It took a lot of hard work by you folks here. And then what about moving to the Connaught Mission and then moving back? Wow, that was a lot of hard work as well. And I just think, wow, you are a wonderful church when it comes to work. You really don't need this message. So the good news is I'm not going to take too long over it tonight. That's good news, isn't it? I just want to go through some points quickly. Maybe we'll take a little more time over the title next week, Resting Well. And we'll look at that. And of course, resting well doesn't just mean feet up with a good book, does it? It means a whole lot more than that. Because there's something about inner rest that we need to talk about as well. Because we can be in turmoil inwardly while looking outwardly as though we're resting. So, working hard. And, I hope this, in the end, is a message that applies to everyone. I look at some people and I just think, well, you're retired. You've earned your rest. Well, you talk to people like Mike and Anne Baldwin, and they'll probably tell you they've worked harder since they've been retired than perhaps before they retire. Retirement doesn't mean the cessation of work, does it? Often people can work harder. And I think even for some of our older folks, you think, I don't do a lot of manual work, but there's all sorts of things that we can do whatever age, which I class as work. And one of those things is prayer. Prayer's work, isn't it? Anybody feel like that? Prayer is work. And after, a good prayer time, I've come out thinking, oh boy, that was good. But actually, I feel quite tired from that. Anyone else feel that? This energy that has been given as we've prayed. And so when it comes to work, prayer is work. And actually, prayer works, as we've heard just a moment ago. Prayer does work. Prayer is powerful. And it changes lives and it changes situations. So, working well is the subject. My mum used to say something. It's funny how parents say things that, stick with you. And she used to say to me, David, hard work never hurt anyone. You heard that? And it's probably because I was moaning about some chores that she wanted me to do. I was saying, oh, I'm too tired, you know, I can't do it. And out would come this little slogan, David, hard work never hurt anybody. And, well, you know, I wasn't too keen to find out at times, that was for sure. But, you know, hard work actually doesn't hurt anyone. I just think of Mum. Sorry to pick on Mum again, but she was the first of 11 children. And you can imagine the sort of things that got placed her way as the 11 were grown up. And she is a hard worker and is still a hard worker, I think. And so, Mum, I just want to honour you. And you're not doing too bad, are you, with all the hard work that you've been involved in? I mean, you're still alive. Hard work hasn't killed you, has it? Which is, no, perhaps a testimony to hard work. And, you know, lots of people work really hard. I know, but... and it's hard to pick people out, but, you know, I was just thinking of Terry, you know, who actually does so much in the church. He is such a hard worker. And I know God is pleased with all that you do, Terry. And, you know, be blessed for your hard work. And actually, you know, Jenny's a little bit of a grafter as well, you know. She's not in the shadows when it comes to hard work. So, bless you guys. No, hard work doesn't hurt anyone. I would say this. Actually, if there's anything that will hurt us, it's laziness. Laziness, I think, is a real curse. Let's just have a look together at a scripture. Proverbs 21, verse 25. If you want to turn with me, Proverbs 21, 25. It says this. This is interesting. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. I've been amazed, and I won't go into it now, but I've been amazed at how much in Scripture there is about laziness and how people are encouraged out of laziness into work. In fact, it says in Thessalonians, if a man does not work, he shouldn't eat. And look at, when you've got time, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you'll find it has quite a lot to say about laziness there. And in fact, laziness is a sin. And let's go to Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. This is a very interesting scripture. And I wonder if I can have it up on the screen here, Ben. Can I? Because I just like to read it. It's coming out of the Authorized Version. This is what the Lord is saying. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Isn't that interesting? Abundance of idleness. This was the sin of thy sister Sodom. And neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. I needn't go on about this too much, but I just want, before we talk about work a little more, is just to point out that, you know, God wants us all to be involved in labor. In fact, the ability to work is a gift of God's. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18, just jot it down, we won't look at it now, but it says, you know, enjoy the work that you have, for this is a gift from God. Have you seen it that way? Monday morning, time to go to work. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. This is a wonderful gift this morning that I can go to work. And actually, perhaps, that should be our attitude. because, and I want to mention it near the end, there are some people who would love to work but are unable to work. And so if we can get up in the morning and go to work, that is a gift from God, and it's something to give thanks for. So let's not be idle, but let's find work for our hand. Now, there are some misconceptions, and I just want to quickly clear those up. Is work the result of sin? It's a question. It's not, is it? Work is not a result of sin. I think some people think that, oh, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, you know, we could have had one lifelong holiday. No work, just enjoying life. But actually, work is something that God has given us, and it came before the fall. Let's have a look at Genesis 2:15. Notice that this comes before Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve are seduced by the enemy. And in verse 15 it says this: "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So Adam had work even before he and Eve fell. Work is a good thing. And in fact, God worked, didn't he? He worked in creation. Let's have a look again while we're in Genesis at Genesis 2:2. It says this in Genesis 2:2. "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." God works and rests. What he's called us to do is model him, to work and rest. The human life, the model of the divine. We work and we rest. And I think for some, perhaps, we need to get a bit more of a balance and rest a bit more than work. And maybe for others, we need to work a bit more than rest. But we need to get a healthy balance. We need to model our Lord. So, as I come to talk about work tonight, there's three things that I just want to highlight. There's so much as I went through this that I thought I could talk about when it comes to work. But there are three things that I want to highlight. And here's the first one coming up. Three areas to working well. And one is being trustworthy. It's being trustworthy. Let me just give you a little story that happened to me many years ago. At the time, I was living here, and I was doing electrical work. And I was supposed to go and sort a little problem out for one of the church members one late afternoon, and I got held up, and so I didn't go. Unfortunately, I didn't phone her either. I thought, well, I'll just go tomorrow morning. She'll probably realize that I'm going to be held up. I've been held up, and I'll go the following morning, which I did do. And I sorted the problem out. Well, next Sunday, the pastor of the church then, Mr. E.G. Rudman, some of you will have heard of Ernest Rudman, he came to me. And he said, "David," he said, "do you mind me just sharing something with you?" He said, "I just heard from this lady, you've done some work for her. Thank you for doing that. But you said you were going to be there at a certain time, and you weren't. And worse still, you didn't phone her. And she was left wondering whether you were coming or not. That wasn't good, was it? I took a deep breath and said, Pastor, no, it wasn't. He said, you should have phoned her, shouldn't you? I said, yes, I should. He said, okay, learn that lesson. Don't ever let that happen again. If you say you're going to be somewhere and you're going to do something, you be sure you do it, okay? Yes, Pastor. He was a good pastor. I loved him, you know, and he wasn't afraid to confront you with things that needed to change in your life. And you know, that's a lesson that I've never forgotten. I'm not sure I've always been perfect and informed people since then, but you know, there's something about being trustworthy in work, isn't there? Being the person of your word. I wonder how many have had people say they were going to come and do something in the house and then never turned up. Anyone experienced that? Isn't that frustrating? It is, isn't it? And in work, we need to be people of our word. That's just one little thing that I felt to underline tonight. If we say we're going to do something, let's be people who do it. And if we can't do it, at least inform the people and say, look, I'm very sorry, can we rearrange another time? I think that's all part of working well, being trustworthy, being true to our word. And secondly, we need to be wholehearted. I think this is a fairly obvious one. Let's just have a look at a scripture together. Colossians 2, 20, 23. Let me read it. It says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. And really, I just want to leave that with you. Let's be people who work as unto the Lord, and therefore do our very best in whatever we're doing. I'm sure these guys that are going to Rouen in the coming days, you're going to be working hard, aren't you? You're going to be giving your best, because we're doing whatever we're doing unto the Lord and not to men. And then lastly, let's be joyful and have a great attitude in our work. Let's go back to our reading, 1 Thessalonians 5, and I think the scripture's there. Is it there? 1 Corinthians 5. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's turn to it together. And we'll get there in a minute. And it says this in verse 16, be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One final point, and really I could have talked about so much, but I just wanted to highlight three things tonight. And this last one is just having a great attitude in work. You know, be joyful, give thanks for that which God has given us to do. I remember he was a Christian psychologist, and he said, you know, I've got two girls, and it's very interesting the way they do the washing up. He says, when one of the daughters is doing the washing up, it's a bit like this. You know, she's picking up the dishes and she's going, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. And she's just doing it with such a good attitude. And then I've got this other daughter, and when she's doing the dishes, her attitude is quite different. It's like, you know, as much as like, I really don't want to do this, but I have to do it anyway. And then she puts them down. And he says, it's so stark, the difference. One is doing it joyfully with a great attitude, and the other is doing it reluctantly with quite a negative attitude. And I think when it comes to work, you know, if we have to do it, whatever the work is that God's given us, let's do it joyfully. Let's do it giving thanks. Let's do it happily as unto the Lord. And I think as we do that, we'll be a blessing to those around us. So those three things really that I just wanted to highlight when it comes to working well: being trustworthy, being wholehearted, and being joyful. Now, just as I come to a close, there might be some who are saying, David, you know, I would really love to work, but you know what? I can't get a job. And you know, I think unemployment is a curse upon a country if there isn't enough work. I've seen people who have been out of work, can't get a job, and how much it's affected them just mentally. It's been so soul destroying. I believe God wants us to be people who work. And tonight, just before you go, if you're looking for a job tonight, and you know, you're in a position where perhaps you've tried for a while and it hasn't happened, then before you go, I'd like to pray with you, or get somebody to pray with you, because I just felt tonight this week as I was preparing this, that you know, the Lord wanted to bring breakthrough in your life in this area. So do come and let's pray, and let's pray this curse off you so that you can get the work that you need. And then the other thing that came to me was there are some people who would love to work, but you know, you don't have the energy to work. Now, I think for some who are perhaps in their later years, you know, you're wanting to take life a little bit easier, and that's great, and you deserve it. But there are some, perhaps, that would love to work, and yet you don't have the energy. You know, maybe for some, they have something like MS, and that is so soul-destroying, isn't it? You just get up in the morning, and there's so much you want to do, but you don't have the energy to do it. And tonight, again, that was something else I felt the Lord put on my heart. Love to be able to stand with you and pray with you in that area, to see the Lord break through and give you the strength and the energy so that you can work. So that in the end, for all of us, we're in a position where we can work and work well, as we've looked at tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that work is a good thing. We know, Lord, there's that little saying, the devil finds work for idle hands. Lord, we want to work with those things that you've given us. And Lord, we want to be trusted and trustworthy with those things. We want to work hard at the things you've given us. And Lord, we want to be people who are just joyful in all that you've given us. Would you help us? Whatever stage we're at, wherever we are, Lord, would you just help us in this whole area? Even this week, Lord, as we go into this week, would you be with us? Would you prosper the work of our hands, we pray. And Lord, just as I've shared, Lord, if there's one particular thing that's been said that's been of you tonight that is important for us, Lord, would you underline it? Just that one thing, as it were, that perhaps you've said. Would you underline it in our hearts that we can take it away and begin to work through it and begin to live it out in these coming days, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.